I'm going to talk about Jesus' flesh and Jesus' blood. So open up to John chapter 6. It's funny, I was thinking about bread this morning. So I thought I'll see what I can find out about bread. So John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I'm going to start with a peculiar beginning, but just to lead it in. John chapter 6 is quite a chapter where Jesus explains a lot about himself. But John chapter 6 and verse 66 says here, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." All right, now why am I starting with that? Well, this is prior to this, and we'll read a lot of John chapter 6. But at the end of it, many people were offended by what Jesus was saying. And it says there, many of his disciples, you know, his disciplined ones, the people following him and looking to him for guidance, were offended by what he was saying. They didn't understand it, didn't get it. And they walked no more with him. So these things, before this point in John chapter 6, they're part of the scriptures. It's God's word, inspired word. And people were offended by it and left. But we are Jesus' disciples today. And so it's in the Bible. So we need to understand and not be offended by what Jesus said before this verse. So throughout the this morning, I'll go through many parts of John chapter 6 because we need to understand it and not walk away because it's confusing, but grab hold of it and see what a wonderful thing it is that Jesus was talking about. I'm talking about Jesus' flesh and Jesus' blood. So John chapter 6, and just start in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." This great miracle happened beforehand where Jesus fed all these people with bread. Verse 27, "Labour not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So he starts here, and it leads into more, that warns us to labour not for the meat which perisheth. You know, that meat that they were looking for, those loaves, that food, that the tucker that goes into our stomach, that perishes. It's not everlasting, but we should labour for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Just over to Matthew chapter 6. And these are hard sayings that Jesus has said, hard for people to grasp, that we should work and labour for food that lasts forever, not food that stays here on earth, or things that stay here on earth. So Matthew chapter 6, a great little parable here toward the end of the chapter. But then down in 31, it says here, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" You know, here we go, Jesus again saying, don't worry about it. You know, don't be concerned about it. "For all these things do the Gentiles seek," or those that don't follow Jesus, they all seek and they all worry and be concerned about what they must eat, what they must drink, and how they must be clothed or whatever. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And one of the young people gave a great talk when they were down here fortnight ago, like the past, we can't fix the past, you know, it's already done. The future, well, we have no idea really what's going to be in the future. God's got all that in hand, then it's the moment. So we live the moment, he was saying. So it says here, "Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things itself." Like, you can't change what happens tomorrow by being worried about it. But we're humans. We like to know what will happen in the future. But the important thing here, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And over time, as you seek the Lord, you realise how true this is. You know, we've got the work of the Lord to do. We seek him and his righteousness. We do what he wants us to do. And you can glean from these verses, he is obligated to provide what we need here on earth. He is obligated to give us food to eat. He's obligated to give us drink to drink. He's obligated to give us clothes for us to wear. He knows that we have need of all those things. He knows it. He's our Heavenly Father. And so we labour not for the meat that stays here and perishes, but we labour for the meat of eternal life. And we put our treasures up in heaven, and because that's where we belong. You know, our heart belongs there. So we focus on doing the Lord's work. You know, at the simplest side of things, set aside time for prayer every day, set aside time for reading the scriptures every day, set aside time to seek the Lord, outreaching, witnessing, doing the work of the Lord, coming to meetings, contributing and so forth. It's that is the work, that is the labour that he's asked us to do. Back to John chapter 6, that's labouring for the meat that lasts forever. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And that's the meat that feeds us, that keeps us going here on earth, so that we will get everlasting life. John chapter 6 and verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Okay, he's referring to Exodus chapter 16. So yeah, we'll flip over to keep your finger in John 6. We'll be going there. Exodus chapter 16, just to show you actually in the Bible what it's referring to there, where it says, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Okay, so Exodus chapter 16, this is what it's referring to. Exodus 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven. So there you go. It actually says the Lord rained a bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Just over to verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Okay? So this is that bread from heaven. But I like what it says here at the end of verse 4. God did this. God rained bread from heaven that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Okay? There was a point to it. You know, God wanted put them through a trial, I guess. You know, to see whether they'll walk in his law or not, to see what their heart was like. And today, you know, we have the word, which is the bread. We'll read more about that. So today he has given us the word, which has been God-inspired, so it's from heaven. And he's given us this word to see whether we'll walk in his ways or not. Okay, it's quite clear what's written in the scriptures, what his ways are, and so he's left it here. It's not hard to find. You know, we've all got our own Bible. It's easy to find, even if we didn't have a Bible. We can find them in many places. So he's given us this figurative spiritual bread from heaven to see whether we'll walk in his ways or not. And we can read that. We've got people to ask, inquire. You know, we love it when people ask questions about the scriptures. You know, they're delving into the scriptures, trying to find out, you know, oh, what does this mean? What's that mean? Because it's this spiritual bread from heaven. You know, it's this stuff that will sustain us spiritually here on earth so that we can be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. You know, so that we are healthy spiritually and not wandering about. So over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Still got your finger in John 6 because we'll be going back there a few times. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Okay? Like how he opens it up there. I would not that you should be ignorant. So please don't be ignorant. Have an understanding on this thing. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Okay, so there's another aspect here that it's alluding to. So yes, they all ate that same spiritual meat, so don't be ignorant. Find out what it means and apply it today. You know, how important the spiritual meat is today. Just as it was as they were wandering through the wilderness back then for 40 years, this manna that kept coming out, this spiritual meat that was coming from heaven was so important to them. You know, it kept them alive. Just like now, be not ignorant today. We've got the spiritual meat, the word. Be not ignorant and understand how important it is to keep us alive as we wander through this wilderness. But then it also refers in verse 4 that there was also this spiritual drink, and that came from the rock, and that rock was Christ. So there's that aspect as well. And spiritual drink, that was water, and that was life. And this life came from Christ. So that's an aspect we'll go through a bit further down. John chapter 6. So that's the meat, the heaven, bread from heaven. John chapter 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So there you go, that clarity. Jesus just said that. He is the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, spiritually. I like Dale's testimony. When she got baptized, she realized that there was a weight that lifted off her shoulders. Kind of a relief. You know, that she knew she was doing something that God wanted her to do. And because he's the bread of life, she'll never hunger. It's like before that, kind of struggling, trying to find out what to do. But then there was this relief, you know, there was that hunger that was, part of it was gone. You know, that burden, because she knew she was doing something that God wanted her to do. And then it says, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, as we read before, that water that came from the rock, that spiritual water, that life, so we'll never thirst either. This scripture that Suzette quoted was in Matthew 5:6. Says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, the blessed people who hunger and thirst after these things, to have a burning desire to know what they must do and what is the way of God, and they all shall be filled. You know, the Lord will feed them with the bread of life and also give them the water of life. He will answer that call. And it's just, like I said, it's just such a relief when you know that you are following God's ways and you're not wondering anymore and you're not following your own ways. There is that physical relief. Down in verse 39, John chapter 6 and verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day, which is the day that we look forward to. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Over to verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, there's this clarity that Jesus is talking about here, because he knew right from the start where he said that the people sought him because they wanted the food. You know, they wanted this food that perished. They were looking at the flesh. But Jesus here is saying, look, I'm talking to you about spiritual stuff. The Spirit is what provides life. You know, it says that the Spirit that quickeneth, so quickens, that's the life. The Spirit gives you life. The flesh, so telling these people around him, stop looking at the flesh. Look at the things of the Spirit, because the flesh profits nothing. You know, the flesh goes to the grave, goes to nothing. Look to the Spirit. That is what gives you life. Keep your finger there, Romans 8. And that's why these people were offended. He was talking about spiritual stuff. They could only look at the flesh through fleshly eyes. I just love the clarity we have, you know, through the learning over time. You know, we started as a babe, a spiritual babe, and I just love the clarity as you learn and you start to realize how different it is, the flesh and the Spirit, and how, of course, looking to the Spirit is life and joy, and just it's just wonderful, and looking to the flesh is just disappointment. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Great verse, Romans 8 verse 9. But ye are not of the flesh, okay, talking to a spirit-filled people, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. There's some clarity for you. Bit of a sledgehammer across the forehead. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of you are none of his. So it's pretty clear there you need the Spirit. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, shall make him alive. Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You know, we don't owe anything to the flesh and to live after the flesh. Verse 13, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It's a funny verse there. First of all, it opens up and says, if you live by the flesh or after the flesh, according to the flesh, just searching after the flesh, just putting all your effort into these fleshly things and meat that perishes, you shall die. You know, you just stay on earth, or, you know, as we know, you go to hell. But then it goes, but ye through the Spirit do mortify. You know, mortify obviously means put to death. So through the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit, we look to the Spirit, and by doing that, and we follow spiritual ways, we put to death the deeds of the body, then we'll live. Because we're only looking to the Spirit. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? As I started out, we are the sons of God, the children of God. I've brought out before, scripturally speaking, men and women are the sons of God. Okay, it turns out gender is flesh. There is no male or female in heaven. So the gender is the flesh. That belongs here on earth. We're all the sons of God. All the children of God. He is our Father through the Spirit. Romans chapter 6. And verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now, this is a truly remarkable thing, that just by us getting dunked under water, nice warm water, repenting and being baptized, we're baptized into Christ and we're baptized into his death. It's a likeness. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're a new creature. Leave old things are passed away, which are the things of the flesh. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, we know that there is the baptism with water and then the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you know, you have the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us. Which is truly remarkable, because we'll be raised up in the likeness of like Jesus was that time, that same Spirit that dwells within us. And then it says, so with the same thing, it says in verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, you know, he dies no more. You know, death has no longer dominion over him. He's raised up, he's alive now. His sacrifice 2,000 years ago is still applicable because he lives. He's on the right hand of God. And if we be dead in Christ, figuratively, through the baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, we've got that cloak of righteousness, we believe that we shall live as well. We'll also live. Our flesh will die, but we'll live We have that life everlasting. And verse 7 was what a similar thing that Suzette was referring to in her testimony. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Wonderful. Like, we don't walk around every day asking for God to forgive our sins. We're free. Free from sin. Which is so free. It's just wonderful that we're so free. repentance is still a big thing, you know, like we muck up, we're in the flesh, we do wrong things, oh, made a mistake, okay, acknowledge that, repent, continue to follow God, you know, because we don't walk after the things of the flesh anymore. We walk in the newness of life, which is spiritual, not fleshly, and the newness of life, and we have that great life. Back to John chapter 6. And verse 47, John chapter 6 and verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And just to reiterate it, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So it's just bizarre stuff that Jesus is talking about when you look at it through fleshly eyes. And that's what the people around him, his disciples around him, were looking at, was through fleshly eyes. I'll read further down later that it was his apostles still carried on following him, and there were other disciples that carried on, but there were many that got offended because they were only looking at natural eyes, these weird things saying, here's this man who claims that they should eat his flesh and drink his blood. I mean, that's pretty disgusting in the flesh. But Jesus just wants them to look at the spiritual side of things. Look through spiritual eyes. Ignore the fleshly understanding. Look to the spiritual understanding. So still keep your finger there in John 6. Go back to John chapter 1. And it's a great thing when you understand what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Spiritually speaking. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God just spoke his Word, and made everything. Verse 4. In him was life, so there's life there as well, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Just jump down to verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own sheep, you know, he came unto find his own people, and his own, sorry, that's wrong. That's incorrect. He came amongst his own people, his own kindred, and his own received him not. He was rejected by his own people. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So referring here, of course, to Jesus Christ, that Word that was in the beginning, was with God and was God, became flesh. That Word became flesh. So I did refer before, you know, we've got the scriptures here, this is the word, this is like Jesus' flesh. And Jesus himself was the light of the world. He was born not of blood or the will of the flesh, but the will of man, will of God. God wanted Jesus to be born, his own son, as a man, to fulfill his plan. And that was his word that became flesh. So when we eat Jesus' flesh, we read the scriptures. You know, that's the heavenly manna. That's what sustains us here as we wander in the wilderness. We read the scriptures and devour. You know, I love it how even in our own English we use words like that. We devour the word, like devouring Jesus' flesh. Munch away on it, chomp, 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 spiritual flesh. Read the scriptures. John chapter 10. This is where I got muddled up earlier. This scripture. I should have finished reading the verse before I jumped in. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He'll be led to good pasture, that meat that pertains to eternal life. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came, so that people can live. You know, if we go through that that baptism by full immersion, seek for the Holy Spirit, and then you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you speak in tongues, you know, you've buried your old life in the likeness of Jesus being crucified, you know, as we read before, and then you have life. Just as Jesus now has been raised from the dead and he lives, we also can live. We have this wilderness period where we need to be sustained during the wilderness period with the bread from heaven, but then we'll live. We'll live forever. We have that life and we have it more abundantly. Back to John chapter 6, just to finish up here. So back to verse 66, which is where I started. So after going through this stuff, people looking through the flesh, John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the twelve apostles, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a great answer. You know, Jesus is standing there. Many people have walked away. And Simon Peter pipes up and says, well, where should we go? You know, it's you that has these words of eternal life. It's you who can teach us all about eternal life. Peter somehow had some clarity of mindset to understand that, yes, he wanted to live forever, and it was through Jesus, his words. And then he goes on, he believes and is sure that he is the Son of the living God. Now, we have our own experiences. We received the Holy Spirit, we spoke in tongues, we've seen miracles happen in our life. We know that the Word of God is true. We read it, we can apply it in our own lives. In moments of confusion, we read what's in the scriptures and think, oh, okay, is that the way I should do it? Doesn't sound right. How should I apply that scripture in my life? Doesn't sound, but then you apply it and you realize it's a lot better than using your own understanding. So we know this. We've put it to the test. It's open for proof and reproof. We know that the words of eternal life are in here. We know that this manna will sustain us. It's sustained many people before us as well. And so we know that. So where else do we go? You know, we know that Jesus is the Son of living God. We know how important it is to devour his flesh, to eat his flesh, to read the word. We know to drink his blood. We've got that life. It says in Leviticus that the blood is where the life is. And so we drink Jesus' blood, we get that life, and that life is through the Holy Spirit. His sacrifice poured out the blood, figuratively speaking, he poured it out, and then we receive that life. Like out of that water that flowed out of that spiritual rock, you know, that water that is life, And so it says elsewhere that Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so we pray in the Spirit, this living water, the life, and that more abundantly. So we know these things. We have that clarity. So where else should we go? You know, where else is there where the word of God is faithfully expounded and that we can grow in the things of the Lord? And we look forward to being raised up to meet him in the air, which is exactly what we all want. Thank you.